17. We are still under the Shema from the time we studied this, so.
I didn't know those things stuck.
Sticks to the to the section. Oh. I there's just one place here that I want to really talk about a little bit, and that's the first few verses.
Where am I?
17. Okay. When Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said unto him, I am the Almighty God, walk before me and be thou perfect. And I'll make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. Now, if the English reading of that is right, then I'm without hope. If that really means, if God is coming down to Abraham, and in the New Testament it says Abraham is our model, and if God says to Abraham, be thou perfect, and then he comes down and if somebody came down to me and said, be thou perfect, as we know that word, I'm saying, I'm taking a hike. You know, I've had enough of people expecting me to be thou perfect. I've had enough of people expecting me to be thou reasonably okay. I mean,
yeah, nice.
Be thou reasonably reasonable. You know, I can't meet any of those standards. If God comes to me and says, be thou perfect, I'm hitting the road. I'm going to have a whole lot of fun because tomorrow I'm going to die. And so that's a stupid translation. What it says is, be you fully tested. Let there nothing according to the senses be left to do. You understand what that means? It's tayim in the Hebrew, telios in the Greek. It means be fully tested. Be. It's the word that's used if you were mining gold, and you beat the shit out of the quartz, and you crushed it, and you finally got a little speck of gold in there, and then you take that little gold and you beat it all up, and you pour acid on it, and then when there's nothing left that you can do to the gold, so it's gold, then it's perfect. Because it's fully tested. Now, you've got to know by now that this gospel that we are about, fully tested, means that there are no if-onlys. There's nothing left that you think you want to do. There's no place left that you think you want to be. Then you're fully tested. Now, problem with that is that I don't really know that. I can pull a Harry, right?
Don't do that.
Huh? No. I have all these grand words about, I see the vanity of romance, and I see the vanity of relationships, and I've just seen through it. Hallelujah, praise God. And then a skirt walks by, and he's off to Guam.
Is that true?
No, the volcano blew up in Guam.
That's not being fully tested. Being fully tested means to be and do whatever is required for you to be at peace at this moment. It's not to try to accomplish some little rules of behavior. It's not to be reasonably reasonable. It's not to be perfect. It's to have pushed the barrier. It's to have fully redeemed the time. It's to have pushed all barriers from a sensory perception and internally until there is all tested. Now, I don't have to be all tested in the arena I've used this one before because it's so ludicrous, of being the quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys. I don't have any need to be tested in the area of being the only pitcher in history to throw 8 no-hitters. I didn't think I knew stuff like that.
That's pretty good.
Is he right?
Yeah, prove
it.
Yes.
Because I don't give a holy rat's ass about baseball or football. It's boring.
Back off.
How did you know that?
Because I just heard a while back that Nolan Ryan pitched 7. Shut up, Ed.
I just want to
speak quiet.
But there is, you know, I had to be tested in areas of politics and areas of I had to be pushed to high as I could dream about getting and then see myself higher in order to see that it's stupid. Now, the reason that each one of us have different arenas that we're born with, that we're interested in, is because we've been chosen in God from before the foundation of the world to be fully tested, so that we as a body of people fully tested can be knit together in love. So that we can be a community. So we can be a tribe, a family. I like tribe. Tribe's a good word.
It's cooler.
Huh? It's a 90s kind of word.
That's
a 90s kind of
word.
Gang is gang. Not a good word. You can't say gang.
Family no. Sounds like Manson. I like tribe.
Tribe?
I like tribe.
Well, it's sort of, you know, it's an Indian kind of, it's a Native American
kind of. Yeah, it's a happening, it's a politically correct kind of.
Politically correct. Yeah, we can get by with saying it in SMU.
We strive to be politically correct.
We can shop at Whole Foods.
There you go.
You know, the other thing that I found out is that I cannot be this word, perfect, fully tested alone. I've tried that. It's really stupid. It's really boring. When I'm alone, I have to be, I'm alone, meaning not just go out in the desert alone, because that's even worse. But alone in society is like, I have to be too many people. Have you ever tried? Well, some of you know exactly what I'm talking about, because you're it now. You're like 14 different people. You're one person with your mother, and you're another person with your job, and you're another person with your girlfriend, and you're another person with...
Why are you looking at
this? Gary, is that true? Are you looking at Gary or me?
It's so funny he would think that.
It's him, isn't it? It's not Gary. It's not us.
I can't. It's not us. I can't be fully tested. I can't be perfect alone. Because there's too many areas that I have no capacity in. There's too many areas that I'm not totally, have no interest in. There's too many areas that I'm a total failure in. I mean, in terms of, I can't do that. I can't. So I need to be part of something else if this scripture is right. In other words, to be fully perfect. There's a whole lot of mystery wrapped into this being fully perfect. And the way you become, from God's standpoint, the New Testament says that don't be God's got a thing against spots and wrinkles. He hates spots and wrinkles. And he says, don't let there be any spots and wrinkles in the body. Now, what's a spot and a wrinkle? A spot and a wrinkle is a place that isn't fully tested. You see that? It's having someone here who wants to be somewhere else. Then that person is a spot on your feast of charity. Unless he fully says he wants to be somewhere else. You understand? If he fully says he wants to be somewhere else, or she says she wants to be somewhere else, then it's our duty It's our obligation to help them get to that other place, even though we think that them being at the other place is wrong. If they say they'd rather be at another place and they're here, then they're not a spot. You understand that? Because a spot and a wrinkle, by definition, are hidden in the original language. So a spot or a wrinkle in the body is someone who isn't fully tested, who has secret agendas in their mind talk. Now, we've been going through mind talk a lot. I'm sure you don't know anything about mind talk. Mind talk, you normally speak at the rate of about 120 words a minute. Mind talk is 1,300 words a minute.
Unless you remember the Martin family.
Oh yeah, then it's 3,684 words a minute if you're a Martin.
It approaches the speed of light.
Yeah. It's so funny, I went out to eat one day, and he was in the restaurant by chance. And we could hear him all the way on the other side of the restaurant.
Who?
Burnett.
Here's my yeah.
All the other
side. He's got holes in his head.
But the mind talk that creates the agendas, that creates you to be somewhere else, is your that's the mind talk is the train that takes you away from the here and the now. It's the rapid transit. It's a bullet train. It takes you away from
extremely rapid.
From what's life and what reality is. Now, to be fully perfect then, walk before me and be thou perfect. It's really kind of neat. Doesn't happen very often. To walk means, it's that great word in the Hebrew, it's halak. And a halak is something like river flows. That's a bow, an arrow, shoot. That's halak. The path that the arrow takes, if I pull a bowstring back and shoot the arrow, is the halak. The river flows as its course, naturally, is its walk, or its halak. The distance between this and the here, where it hits, is its halak, its walk. It's what it does with no effort. It's what it does in a state of the abandonment of itself. It's what it does with no self-consciousness. Are you going to ever hear that you're not going to get it right? What you do, it's so much more fun when you see that it's self-consciousness that's the idiocy. If you're self-conscious, you're not walking. You're like a inertial guidance system that has gotten over here and it's changed targets. And you're going to miss where the target is. Be thou perfect. Walk before me and be thou perfect. Can you start to see then that what the gospel that God is talking about from the beginning to the end, the covenant from the beginning to the end, has nothing to do with choice? It has to do with being honest. It has to do with pushing yourself to the limit. It has to do with not being a coward. The gospel is the fruit of no cowardice. Mike, do you understand me?
Yeah.
Because if you're a coward, you will always be one step back and you live your life in an if-only status and always be a victim. There can be no victims in the body of Christ. Victimhood is impossible. There can be no charities in the body of Christ. All of the religious horse hockey in the New Testament that talks about putting on the armor of God, the helmet of salvation, and the breastplate of righteousness. What?
We just call that a horse hockey.
Yeah, because it's made to sound religious. Oh. It's made to sound like, well, praise God, we're going to go out and get our armor on and go do battle with some mean, it's just it's idiocy. Yeah, we're going to go do battle with the enemies of the Lord. Look in the mirror, sucker. You're the enemy. We studied today in the morning session. We studied Harry in the morning session. Yeah. We spent a lot of time
studying. Well, there's a new one.
Harry. Harry is the object lesson. He's like, it's constant.
You should write a book about yourself.
There was a standard amount of Harry bashing.
The way you can tell if you're a disciple is if you're a disciple of the living God, then it's impossible to have an external enemy. You can't have an enemy of any person or thing or circumstance or nothing. You understand? If you're a disciple, you know that you battle not against flesh and blood or against anything that's perceived by the senses. So, like, you know, even things like you can't battle against alcoholism. If you're battling alcohol, then it means you've already you fought the wrong fight, so you've lost before you started. If you're battling drugs, you fought the wrong battle, so you've lost before you started the battle. If you're battling sex addiction, or you know, I don't care what it is, then you're battling the wrong battle. If it's anything external, or anything that can be named in that kind of naming it. No matter how I would like to believe it, my battle isn't against Harry. I mean, my life wouldn't be simpler if Harry wasn't here. Well, maybe it would.
It would be simpler.
No, but it can't be. As long as I can perceive Harry with the senses, then it can't be against Harry. So part of this walk then isn't, it's never the circumstances that get you, that try you. It's the judgments you've made about those circumstances. It's never anything. You cannot have a problem that's causing you to have a lack of peace in your life. It's only the judgments you're making about your circumstances that are causing the lack of peace. And because you're making those judgments, by definition, if you're making a judgment about yourself, it means then that you have put yourself in another, you've gotten on the bullet train and gone somewhere else. You understand? Because somebody had to tell you were naked in order to make a bad judgment about the present status. And so you've lost from the beginning. You can't enter that arena, and if you're in that arena, you can't walk before Him and be thou perfect. You understand? Because you won't be tested. You understand that? You won't be tested because you will put the test at another place and another time by getting on the bullet train of your mind talk. And so you cannot walk before Him and be perfect because you're not halakhing. You're not doing what you do naturally. You're doing what you do by the vehicle of self-consciousness.
And you're not there.
And you're not here. Now, that's why Jesus said, consider the birds of the air. Consider the lilies of the field. They talk. The birds, they don't gather. They don't
sow.
The lilies, they're not really concerned about themselves. Let's go there. That's a good one to look at. Matthew 6.
When you make a judgment about your circumstance, you leave the moment.
Yes.
You can't be tested.
Yes. When you make a judgment about yourself, you have by definition left the moment.
And gone to another.
You've gone to another moment.
So there's no test.
There's no test in that moment.
Proving being perfect.
Can you understand that, all of you? It's really important. It's so simple that our minds make it think that it sounds complicated enough. Okay. Verse 6:25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, or what you shall drink, nor for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Now, again, take no thought for your life, period. Your soul, your being. Not for what you eat, not for what you drink, not for what you put on. I mean, if you don't take any thought for those, tell me how you can take thought for your career. Or your problems, or your... These are the things that are the basics of survival. Now, it's hard for you to understand this, and you won't accept it. We've been talking about it for years, and you still haven't accepted it. No thing that you've ever done by your own thought has ever gotten you any benefit. Again, there may have been illusions for a moment that you benefited by having a steak, or, you know, I'm going to go out and have me a great steak. You went out and had a great steak. But it wasn't any, how can I say this? There wasn't any real benefit to you by an act of self-awareness. All of your life, your fundamental, the things that made you you have happened to you without your self-awareness. Okay, let's go on. Verse 26, behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. They sow not, they reap not, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take you thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which is today and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. The implication there is they seek in the vanity of their own minds, or the futility of their own minds. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. A better way of saying that, and it would be perfectly legal in terms of the translation, is sufficient unto the day is the test thereof. Sufficient unto the day is the opposition thereof. It's the opposition that you praise, that you get understanding from, that you, without, it's, I mean, it's the only thing that's of really any value.
There's something here I've never seen before. The thing about taking no thought for tomorrow, it's like you, an outside agency, don't try to do anything to affect this thing tomorrow. And then it says, because the morrow will take care of itself. Is that what it's saying? Mm-hmm. That what you do is superfluous anyway.
That's right. Stop a minute. I've gone through this a lot, but you have the illusion that you have some control over your life. You have the illusion that you're going to control your future, or control your free will, or control this, or control that. God gave you, when man fell, when the human race fell, God gave then, the mind became doubled. And you then, from that moment forward, had the illusion of control. And the illusion of control comes by the vehicle of the conscious mind. But almost all of you is subconscious, below consciousness. And the simple test for it is if you, and again, this happens, this is the easy one to destroy it, but if someone thinks they are in control of their life, then tell them to release, tell them at the same moment to release the enzymes to digest the food they're eating, they have just eaten, to control and regulate the body temperature, to regulate the heartbeat, to regulate the blood pressure, to regulate the temperature of your entire body, to regulate all of the various nerve endings. There is no way. You cannot, there is so little bit of you that you're in control of that it's just stupidity to think that you're in control. It's the lie of the Antichrist. Because for you to be in control, by definition, means you're separate from God. And that's the one lie. And for you to be in control means you're separate from the brethren, which is the fruit of that one lie.
What is taking the license?
Well, that's one who stays in the illusion of control but blames it on God.
It's in control but blames it on God.
Yeah, he decides what he's going to do, and he says, license is, the license then is, well, God is making me do it. In other words, that's what Paul, it's what everybody that preaches the abandonment of self is sometime going to be accused of license, because no one can afford the risk of being totally in preaching only faith. If I preach only, if I'm determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified, if I'm determined not to ever once tell you what to do about anything, then they'll accuse me of preaching license.
Yeah, it's like saying, abandon yourself, but you can't smoke, or abandon yourself, but you can't drink, or abandon yourself, but you can't swear, or, you know, all the little standard, normal things that people will...
Abandon yourself, not be good.
...desire of you. It's the fruit that they want to see.
Okay. Bottom line is you understand that you cannot do this thing about walking before God and be perfect if there's any self-consciousness. Because the word halak, which is walk, cannot be accomplished in a state of self-awareness or self-consciousness. So it's something that's so basic, but all of Babylon has missed it. All of Babylon thinks that you need to be aware of what you're saying. Be careful and control what you're going to do. And you've been taught it from your very childhood. You've been taught how to behave.
That's easy to do. What's hard is this right here to me.
Well, that's only hard because you've been taught the other.
I know, but I mean, it just seems like it's easy to hide. It's harder to really let stuff out.
It's just the opposite. Yeah. It takes so much energy.
Just think of the tremendous amount of energy it takes to keep all of the stuff in.
When you're in this holic, I'm sure that it's kind of painful in a way. I mean,
it says,
as you go down further and in that energy, is there more resistance and more pain as you increase in the holic, or does it let go?
Well, it becomes... No part of it has anything to do with you. But externally, you'll be abused and told you're evil. You'll be told you're demon-possessed. You'll be told you're Satan himself. They'll kill you and think they're doing God holy service. I mean, all the pressures of hell will come against it. Because it's the one reason that time and space exists, for this holic. And yet everything in time and space is against it. And the reason we can do the holic, and the reason Abraham can, it says Abraham did it because he saw the day of Christ and was glad. The preaching or the hearing of the gospel is the seeing of Christ. Abraham did it. We do it. But it's all because of Jesus Christ. You understand? He is the efficacy by which we can afford to abandon ourselves.
It's reinforced psychologically. It's reinforced by internal witness, witness of the brethren, witness of the scriptures.
You're not going to stop talking about gestalts or something,
no,
right?
No, but, I mean, if everything's against it, there's got to be something. There's got to be some reinforcement. There's got to be something for it.
You mean some kind of ally?
I'm not if. I mean, in the light of the fact that everything is against it.
Well... You don't have many allies. You don't have a whole lot of people that'll say, yeah, right on, brother, because by definition, the world will speak well of you when you do well unto yourself. If you've abandoned, if you don't give a shit about what happens to you tomorrow, then you're going to be the biggest threat in the world to anyone who is into that other way of thinking. And so that's why your very presence is a threat. And will always be. And it's a threat to every society that has ever existed on the face of the earth. It's a threat to every form of government. It's a threat to every purpose, every function, every agenda. It's because you are the enemy of all things. That's why. But again, the halak, the abandonment, the walk, the function can only be realized in the abandonment of yourself. The moment you take thought for yourself, the moment you take any consciousness of yourself, then you've stopped this process, if you will. If you start here and you're supposed to be there, if any time you take thought for yourself, I mean, you know, you're zooming all over there like those little UFOs going around. You know, you're supposed to be let go. You're supposed to be way down there, probably. Do you understand why the abandonment of self is everything in this gospel that we've been delivered into? If you think, if there's any reason, if there's the slightest reason for self-consciousness, and the way you will think that is when you have some idiot like me that says these terrible things publicly, and then you have to justify it. You have to be identified with it. Or where it's either someone like me or your kids. It's either one of the two. That'll just throw a monkey wrench into the halak. Because the kids, they just weren't right. And you've got, oh my God, they can't say stuff like that.
Right here.
No. At least it's a piece of work.
We had this great, great deal that happened in Joyce Anna's class in school. Some of you heard about it, but I don't even know who was teaching. No, it was Rick.
Yeah.
Rick was doing the Bible study readings, and he was doing them in characters. He was doing us things. So the kids were getting off on it.
But you heard.
You heard that. I heard all about it, Rick.
That's why you should have abject terror.
Really?
But the bottom line is the terror and the fear is a habit. You're no more afraid. I mean, you're in a man in the moon. That's just crazy. It's an ancient habit pattern. It's bullshit. But anyway, the kids are going through there, listening to the story of the crucifixion. And Sarah Buckner just gets incensed. And she said, why didn't he just get one hand off and just go, what did she say?
She goes, why didn't he pull a hand off and then get down there and beat them all up?
Take one hand off the cross and go down there and beat them all up.
I can beat you up with three of my questions. Pinned to a cross.
Yeah.
she couldn't stop talking about it. She talked about it to me later that day. Again, twice. She wanted to know why he didn't. And
I didn't know how to respond at all. I was like,
he had to place himself in the hands of God with no effort on his part, though he could have called down 10,000 angels.
What to ask?
Kick more Chinese than you've ever dreamed of.
And Norwegians.
If he did that, we would have done that. What do you say?
You said he kicked Chinese, and I said,
he's putting that Norwegian Chinese set you back for a long time.
Let's take a break. And hypnosis isn't really a state. Hypnosis is a word, it's a general word coined by psychologists that describes several different states of being when you're in a state of autosuggestibility. But it really is no different than the normal state is. I mean, it's just, especially with the idea of what's happening now with the subliminals, you know, in advertising, where you're manipulated by, you're manipulated below your conscious level to purchase.
He kind of demystified it, which was neat. You know, he said it's not that uncommon of a deal to be at this subconscious kind of level.
Right. But anyway, but can you see a little bit why the first words of Christ to his disciples were, do you want to follow me? Abandon yourself. Pick up your cross. The word abandon is that incredible word in the Greek. It's aphrodiomai, which means take no thought about yourself whatsoever. There's no whether I'm doing it right or wrong, or no sincere stuff, no, well, I'm just a good old, nice little, you know, no thought about yourself whatsoever. If there's any thought, even religious thought or God thought, then you can't halak. Does everybody see how why that's so important?
Yeah, I'm thinking about what you were talking about. When man invents something, you know, it does like one thing. And it's really good to mention do two, maybe three. But when God comes up with things like water, water solves like a million equations. It's like this is the only way out of the trap. It's the only solution to the trap. There's no other way.
There's nothing else you can do about the problem of self. Now, the act of abandoning yourself is the act of psychic or spiritual death. You can't abandon yourself if you think you are alive and have to protect and become something. I mean, do you have any idea how boring it is for me to hear all these little stories about what you want to be when you grow up, or what you want to do, or I mean, it's just horseshit. God wants you to abandon yourself, or what your ministry is.
Uh-huh. My special ministry.
Abandon yourself. Take no thought for yourself.
I guess why I asked about the license deal earlier.
Oh, I didn't have any idea why you asked about the license.
We were all confused.
I was really confused about that guy.
It's because what?
It's not difficult to understand the end. You know, this is the Antichrist. One. Two, that with my background and where I came, just almost a twisted self understanding of what this really is, but coming from that in such a zealot manner, making me basically the potential of a Judas.
That's funny.
And then the legion of understanding of the correlation of science of being able to understand something to a point and not necessarily getting drawn up into the application of it, but taking it to its theory and being able to drive that to thousands of places.
Yeah, but
that would take 10 million lifetimes just to figure out just one area of its application, and the spontaneity of that putting me in a place that
but it was putting you in a place of being not here, mm-hmm. and it was doing it, and it was doing it in a way which became high-minded. Because what you did was it's remember that a little knowledge is a dangerous thing. Drink deep or taste not the Pyrian spring. Well, you took a little scientific knowledge and ran with it, and you ran the wrong direction.
That's the spontaneity.
That's not spontaneity. That is the opposite of spontaneity. It's planned response. It's calculated.
I guess what I'm desiring is to have a spontaneity that I won't, that somewhere down the, I have not projected somewhere down the road or visualized something out, just knowing that of my nature, that potentially that could hurt.
Yeah, but again, it's your fight isn't any different than anybody else. Your fight is common.
Yeah.
But you've made it special because it brought you life privately. You've thought, I am unique. You're not unique, you're common in that regard. Just forget it. Stop taking yourself seriously at all. I mean, if you want to talk physics, let's talk. If you want to talk energy physics, let's talk. But I mean, that's just crazy to take a little bit of knowledge about it. And I mean, it's just stupid. You don't have to do it. You don't have to try to prove your worth by jacking around with all that stuff. I mean, I'm not trying to come down hard on you, but I'm coming down hard on you. You just don't think about yourself at all. Anytime you begin to think about yourself, whether or not you're doing it right, no, you're not. Say, forgive me, Father, and then go on. You don't have to dwell on it. Repentance isn't, I'm sorry I did it. Repentance is, I'm turning from it. You know, again, your sin, your... The thing that, again, the church has lost, the word iniquity. The word iniquity in the Hebrew is aben. Christ said, many shall come to me in that day, saying, Lord, Lord, we did all these wonderful deeds, and he shall say, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, I never knew you. The worker of iniquity is the one who continues on in self in the name of Christ without hollocking. He is then the opposite of the purpose of God. But he is totally evil in God's eyes because he's teaching self-realization in the name of God. That's why what's happening today is this. I mean, the prosperity gospel thing is so incredibly evil. It used to be a minor heresy, you know, in the first century. It was called the Corinthian heresy. Now it's almost the whole of people that call themselves Christians. It's self-realization in Jesus' name. It's ultimately evil. I might as well say, and I said it today. That it's, they might as well be preaching in the name of Satan. Let's go to Isaiah 63. This is the Haftarah for that.
It's going to be the Haftarah if you don't show up.
Isaiah 63. Remember what we said. Remember, everybody remember when the three-year cycle defines the readings from the law, the writings, and the prophets. In the law, there had to be at least 7 verses read. In the prophets, there had to be at least 21 verses read. And there was no difference or no determinant with regard to how many in the writings. And so the actual, when it gives in the 3-year cycle, when it gives the actual reading for this day or for this section of scripture, it's Isaiah 63 verse 10 and 11. Actually, it's worth it's 10 and 11 in Hebrew. It's 9 and 10 in our Bible. But in order to do what we've said, you have to go 21 verses. So let's start like in Isaiah 62, verse 10, and then go to the end of the chapter. You want to start over? You want to read?
Yeah, I'd like to.
Okay.
Go through the gates, prepare ye the way of the people, cast up the highway, gather out the stones, lift up a standard for the people. Behold, the Lord hath proclaimed unto the end of the world, say ye to the daughter of Zion, behold, thy salvation cometh. Behold, his reward is with him and his work before him. Okay. And they shall call him the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord, and thou shalt be called sought out, a city not forsaken.
Okay. The idea that his reward is with him and his work is before him. The word, when it says the work is before him, that means the results are guaranteed. And his reward is with him. It's like the idea, meaning is like the end result of a pecan tree is in a pecan. That's what that means. And so it applies directly to this thing of hulking, because if I didn't know that the sperma of God or Jesus Christ was my life, then I couldn't afford to abandon myself. I would always have to, you know, be careful and be prudent. That's why it says he has hid these things from the wise and the prudent, but has revealed them unto babes. And the word babes there is the word technon, which means darling infant. It means the period before self-awareness. I mean, this group especially, you've got to get out of the state of, I mean, you've got to see that any questioning of self, any self-awareness, if there's anything in there that you want to be self-aware about, let's talk about it. But you know by now there's nothing there. I mean, so any self-awareness, whether it's, oh, I'm being sincere because I'm beating myself about the head and shoulders, or, oh, I'm being sincere because I'm, it's just horse hockey. Can you just let it all go And know that if you're at all, oh, I'm, this is the way I'm supposed to, this is the way I am, this is me. No, it's not. Now, cast up the highway. That's what the highway is. No, I mean, they didn't have any 635s then. The highway was the road or the way to be traveled. The way to be traveled is what you walk on, what you halak on. That way, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He never said he would show you the way. He is the way. And that's only be... That way can only be revealed in the abandonment of yourself. What?
I remembered in Genesis it said, walk before me. I just thought, it's not like walking after. It's not like following something you can see. It's, you just step out there.
Amen. Be careful for nothing. Just love God and have fun.
Gather out the stones, it means the stones in the way.
That's right. Just throw them out. The stones in the way are all of these. The stones are all of the thoughts about you in this path that you'll trip on, you'll fall over.
Who is this that cometh from Edom with dyed garments from Bozrah? This that is glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength. I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save.
Now, who is this that cometh from Edom? What the hell? Edom is the flesh. How can this happen?
Yeah, what's going on
here? How can this happen? Edom is the flesh. Who is this that cometh from Edom? Well, the seed, the Holy One of Israel, took on the form of flesh. Okay.
Wherefore art thou red in thine apparel and thy garments, like him that treadeth in the wine vat? I have trodden the winepress alone, and the people there was none with me. For I will tread them in mine anger, and trample them in my fury, and their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments, and I will stain all my raiment. For the day of vengeance is in mine heart, and the year of my redeemed is come.
Now stop. See, we've just read in Genesis about Abram's call that walked before him. Now it's the end of the call. You understand? But the end was contained in the beginning. The end was assured in the beginning. Remember, in Genesis 15, you can go there or not, but I'm going to just read one verse. Well, it's in Genesis 1, just Genesis 15, 1 and Genesis 15, 4. It's the only two times it's used in the book of Genesis, the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord appeared to Abram. Once the word of the Lord appeared to Abram, the results were guaranteed. Those results were assured. So, it's like,
his works were before.
Yeah, but even if you haven't, how many years now? Where we are right now in Genesis 17, it has been 20, he's been in Canaan 24 years. It has been 39 years since he left Ur, the Chaldees, or left Babylon. It has been 13 years since the Lord last visited him. It's been 24 years since the first promise was made. He still doesn't own anything, and nothing of the promise has come to pass yet. But from God's standpoint, it's assured. So are you going, that's why I said the other night, from God's standpoint, as long as you're just pouring forth whatever's there, a doubt is a prayer. I mean, the doubt has just as much efficacy as, oh, praise God in all your highest, because the results are assured if you give out what's there. But if you, oh, I shouldn't be doubting, oh, I'm just going to act like I'm not doubting now, well, you're going to become what? A dead sea. What?
Pus.
Pus?
Pus is what he said.
That's a good one.
Pus.
Assist.
Mm-hmm. Pus is us.
Oh, God, what a disgusting group. Back to, the reader is gone. Is he on the phone?
And I looked, and there was none to help, and I wondered that there was none to uphold. Therefore mine own arm brought salvation unto me, and my fury it upheld me.
Mine own arm brought salvation. He looked, and there was none. He looked, and he saw you, and he says, oh, shit. He looked, and he saw you and all your best. He says, there's none to help. And then he said, mine own right arm. Mine own arm has gotten me the victory. His own arm is the Zeruah. His own right arm is his seed, his essence. The seed of God has gotten him the victory. Christ in you, the hope of glory.
And I will tread down the people in mine anger and make them drunk in my fury, and I will bring down their strength to the earth. I will mention the loving kindnesses of the Lord and the praises of the Lord according to all that the Lord hath bestowed on us, and the great goodness toward the house of Israel, which he hath bestowed on them according to his mercies and according to the multitude of his loving kindnesses. For he said, surely they are my people, children that will not lie. So he was their Savior. In all their affliction he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his pity he redeemed them, and he bare them, and carried them all the days of old. But they rebelled and vexed his Holy Spirit. Therefore he was turned to be their enemy, and he fought against them. Then he remembered the days of old, Moses and his people, saying, where is he that brought them up out of the sea with the shepherd of his flock? Where is he that put his Holy Spirit within them?
Why don't you go ahead and finish it?
That led them by the right hand of Moses with his glorious arm, dividing the water before them to make himself an everlasting name. That led them through the deep as a horse in the wilderness, that they should not stumble. As a beast goeth down into the valley, the Spirit of the Lord caused him to rest. So didst thou lead thy people to make thyself a glorious name. Look down from heaven and behold from the habitation of thy holiness and of thy glory. Where is thy zeal and thy strength, the sounding of thy bowels and of thy mercies toward me? Are they restrained? Doubtless thou art our father, though Abraham be ignorant of us, and Israel acknowledge us not. Thou, O Lord, art our Father, our Redeemer. Thy name is from everlasting. O Lord, why hast thou made us to err from thy ways and hardened our heart from thy fear? Return for thy servant's sake the tribes of thine inheritance. The people of thy holiness have possessed it but a little while. Our adversaries have trodden down the sanctuary. We are thine. Thou never bearest rule over them. They were not called by thy name.
It's hard to think about spiritual matters because we are literalists. So we can only think about, like Harry was talking about earlier, we can only think of like one thing does one thing. But to God, Israel was the model, as we said in that Passover homily. Israel, Jackie works for an architect. The architect constructed a model. And that model, the architect was God. And he made a model. And it was the nation of Israel. And the plans for that model are called the Torah. And so then it's the wiring diagrams and the plumbing diagrams and the what? Yeah. All of the diagrams and schematics of the that which is to be revealed, or that which is to be constructed, are in Israel, are in the Torah, or the Bible. Now, they're all a model of Jesus Christ. When that which was perfect is come, then that which is in part was done away with, and it would serve no purpose.
You know, I was thinking about it the other day. We had a model, was built, so it was kind of like we drew lots to see who would get to destroy it. You know, because it was, they all thought it was a lot of fun, but I mean, I was thinking about that because there was this model and they're like lighting it on fire and doing all kinds of weird stuff to it. But I mean, it was useless. I mean, it was just a bunch of junk now.
Right.
It had no purpose.
It's no purpose. It's just a bunch of pieces here and there throughout scattered history.
Yeah.
The land once had value, but now it is without value, for that which is revealed has come.
Yes, like trying to contain a being within words,
yeah.
Or create now, a being with words.
Now, this thing we call the Bible is still the schematics. If we want to, the promise of God is that when we see him, we shall be like him, we shall know him as he is. It's not talking about some time in the grand and glorious future. It's when we see him in here, when we see him in each other, when we see him in life, when we see him in a tree, when we see him in a sunset. When we see him, we shall be like him. There's no place on the face of the earth that has more revelation about Jesus Christ than the book of Leviticus. And it's the least studied book in the Bible. It's the least understood book in all of history. Because it's the schematic of Jesus Christ and his efficacy and his work. Now, so if you get aware of yourself, then you go here to see him. You don't go here to see yourself. I don't see you. I've looked from Genesis to Revelation. I've not seen Harry in here once. Not seen Ed. Ole in here Ed. Once. Ed's in there, but it's...
yeah.
Anyway. Think on these things. Think about hollocking. Think about every time you start thinking about yourself to say, Father, forgive me, for I've sinned.
I mean, I think that's so cool. He talks about his people, and all he says is that I have a people that don't lie. I mean, it's almost like the only thing that he says about him at one point.
Yeah.
They say what's there, they don't pretend to be something else.
Amen.
How do you spell
Halik? H-A-L-I-K. Perfect is Tayim. T-A-M-I-Y-M. You want that one?
Perfect is
Tayim. Tayim in Hebrew, teleos in the Greek. Halik is Hebrew. Remember? Tayim, perfect, is... today is Tuesday?
Yes. Correct. Tuesday, correct, sir.
Does anybody have anything else to talk about?
I started a book today. Because somebody recommended it to me, and I've got some time at work where I'm just not doing anything. So I started reading Bonfire of the Vanities. And it has got to be one of the most depressing books because... It's not very escapist. I mean, it's pretty cut and dry. Everything is vain. I mean, it's the message going through the book, and I was going, oh, I do this. Oh, yeah, here, this looks, familiar. It's like, oh, my God. I mean, the last couple of days, all I can think of is I'm not there, or I'm missing the boat, or I'm not abandoning, or whatever, Responses. If you're thinking about yourself, not abandoning yourself at all, just stewing. And so that's where I keep coming to, the abandonment. And
well, the process of what, I mean, it's revealed in it says, it's revealed in us. I mean, it's like, what's happening is like you're like spiritually constipated. Don't get hemorrhoids by trying too hard.
Okay.
Just again, that too is from the hand of the Lord. Just rest. Take a big guy.